Hello, church family. This is our midweek connection, time in the Word. And I want to just share with you a few things before we go to the Word. First of all, I know that I'm a little bit to one side. Our goal is to see if we can insert Heather signing on one corner of the screen. And hopefully we'll get it in on the right corner. I'm also using the headset mic, not for projecting to an empty room, but in order to clear up and strengthen the audio when we post the audio. What? Where was it?
There was nowhere.
Oh, I think.
Then I wondered if the flowers were in focus.
No. The bike box will show up only when it's setting the focus. So,
all right.
Yeah, if it was on my face, you can push this halfway down, this one.
And it will show me the white box.
And it'll show you the white box.
Okay, sorry about that. I just didn't want you to go.
Matter of fact, I just did. So push that part way down. And just make sure it focuses on me.
It's already on you.
Is it? There's a box on me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start over. Yeah. Hello, church family. I'm coming to you from my natural habitat, the church. And you know, if you're a part of our midweek services, that I teach from here in front of the communion table. And so I'll do that, try that here this evening. Several things you'll notice: that I am off to one side on your screen. That's so that hopefully we can insert some signing, Heather signing for James and Jennifer and Joanne on one portion of the screen. I'm also wearing my headset mic to clear up and strengthen the audio that we post on sermonaudio.com. And so those are some things that I want you to be aware of as we start out this recording here today. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to get to there in just a moment. A series of verses that I'll walk you through, and then some thoughts I want to leave you with, just to encourage and also to challenge you in your time of the Word today. The authorities of you, as you know, have issued a stay-at-home policy or a stay-at-home guideline. And they've also clarified over the days some more restrictions and guidelines for social distancing and meeting together. And I think we're trying to follow those and just ask your patience as we work through some of those things together. All the new orders and the guidelines keep me, I should say, thinking about things with the church and our church family, how to go about ministering to you during this time. And one thought that I want to share with you, possibly today and next week, is this idea of essential versus non-essential. The longer we are apart and the more restrictive our gatherings do become, the more I would like you to think in those terms, essential versus non-essential. I think that will help us as we navigate these times. So I've given this a title. Don't always do that with the teaching on Wednesday nights, but the title I have for tonight is Absence Makes the Heart Grow Fonder. Renewing our appreciation for the life of the body. And I think that'll be helpful for you to keep that thought in mind as I walk you through several things here this evening. Number one, I want to share with you that we know that Christ has instructed and commanded the local church to assemble together. I have you in 1 Corinthians 5. I'll show you something in just a moment, but we need to recognize that the universal church never meets. Right? There's a lot of people that talk about being a part of the universal church, but not any local church. Well, the universal church never has any meetings on earth, this side of heaven. And so that's really not what we're dealing with as a local church. It's not really applicable to stay-at-home orders or anything like that. But I did want to mention that. There's another thing that I have heard in just my skimming of things that are even happening in our day with the COVID-19 virus. But Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, "For when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Let me share with you, that is not a definition of the church. That is not the local church. To think of it that way is to take away all sorts of hermeneutical principles and the understanding of the way we understand the scriptures and interpret the scriptures. So what I'm dealing with is our local church. Christ has given commands, instructions to the local church to gather together. Let me show you that in just a few places in the New Testament. I think we can see it in more, but this should be enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So the local church, all right, let me give you, so that's the idea that he's given us these commands. In thinking about those commands, the church in a locality gathered together or assembled together. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4. You can see the context around it, but just you'll see the text in verse chapter 5, verse 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ." They gathered together, the Corinthian church. Staying at the Corinthian church, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you recognize quickly our Lord's Supper text. But in that, you can see once again this idea that the church in a locality, those that were in Christ, those that were the called out ones, the church, they gathered together in a particular location. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse, verse 20, "when you come together, therefore, into one place." See that the church gathered together into one place. And there's actually another one in the Corinthian letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. This is dealing with the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, giving the church instructions on the use of that. But these instructions are for its use in the church, right? So that's the overall context. But if you look at chapter 14, verse 23, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place," see the phrase, "and you all speak with tongues," it goes on and then gives some more thoughts and teaching on that. But you see, the church gathered together in one place, that's God's design. That's Christ's instructions that come to us through his word. So we know that we have these instructions to assemble together. We find examples of that. I've shared with you a few of those. Secondly, with that thought, we are instructed not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is, of course, a reference familiar to many. I think it does get used frequently enough, and so forth. But I want you to see that God gives this an importance. That is, the assembling of together is so important that he gives instructions for us not to forsake it. All right, it says importance to our life, things that we've talked about before, important testimony. It has just so many elements of importance. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." So there's a command not to forsake it. There's actually within that command and instruction the idea of increasing, doing it more often as we see the day approaching. And you can make that application definitely to our situation today. But in the COVID-19 era, if you can call it an era, I want you to realize we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We are being providentially hindered for a time from being together. But we are not making conscious decisions. Hopefully nobody would make it even before or after conscious decisions to stay away from and forsake the forsaking of ourselves together. But I think Christ gives this an importance. So we have instructions to be together. We have examples of being together in the Word of God. We have the importance of it. And really instruction not to forsake it. And then also I want to share with you is that the assembly that we find in the assembling of ourselves together, the gathering of ourselves, was more than the parts put in proximity to each other. I use this example is we could bring all the parts that are necessary to build an automobile into our church building and lay them all out in proximity to one another. But it is not a functioning automobile. Simple illustration, but when we bring our parts of our body together and we have instruction to do that, we are not necessarily just coming into proximity with each other, but we are coming into proximity to function together, to be connected in such a way that we are a functioning body. The body does exist apart from the assembling of itself together. I think functions of the body exist apart from the assembling of ourselves together. We see one here in Hebrews chapter 10. At the end of verse 25, where it says, "exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I'm encouraged by your contacts with one another, your contacts with me. I think there's efforts being made to connect with one another and to fulfill the one another's that we have, and those are good things. But understand that those things are to happen not just when we're apart, they happen when we are together. There's a functioning of the local church. God designed it that way. He designed the local church to be gathered at particular times in one place to do and to function the things that he wants it to do. You recognize in the some of the things that I print out or publish for you is that the goal of our church is to pursue faithfulness to the word and to the life of the body. That's this life of the body. So we know that Christ has instructed and commanded the local church to assemble together. We can't do that right now. And that's what makes this so different in what we have and the way we do things. So the hindrance to the assembly that we have with COVID-19 prevents us from functioning and doing all that Christ wants us to do together in the assembly. And so as I think about that, there are, I think, in terms of essential and non-essential, it prompts me to do that. In other words, what are the things that we can do apart, in other words, disassembled, and what are the things that we have to be together to do when we are assembled? We have to be assembled together in order to do. And so that's what I mean by essential and non-essential. What things can I replace? And what things are irreplaceable and are necessitate me being with somebody else, would be us being together as a church. So let me suggest three thoughts with this. Number one, some functions of the body cannot be replaced or substituted for if we're not assembled. Right? Some things we cannot replace. Number two, let's put our energy into replacing what we can, right? And I think what the idea is that we put our efforts into doing what we can and then long for the time. We desire that time when we can be back fully functioning as a body assembled together. And then thirdly, I want to share with you anything that we substitute, anything that we do replace, is still missing something that's essential to the church body and the life of the body. And that's what I want to just walk you through several things and give you a sense of what I mean by that. We have technology today that you've heard me say before has changed the church. This is a benefit of technology, that I can come to you and preach with that. It's been some advantages. I think there are disadvantages as well. The technology has provided us the capability or the potential to replace certain things in the local church. Some elements of the assembly, both essential and non-essential, can have a replacement. My idea is that even though they are replaced, there's still something missing if we're not following the commands that God has given us in His Word. But the idea is that there are some things that can be replaced. And so think with me just a little bit as we continue on. Online churches have been with us for a long time. Sometimes people use that as a substitute for the local church. That's not a substitute. It's not an appropriate substitute. That is literally forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we know that online churches, media churches, whatever you want to call it, they can provide an experience. But they are not a local church. So they can provide the feeling of being at a church, but they cannot, they're still going to be missing something of the assembling of ourselves together. The other thing that is probably more applicable and more on my mind now is that churches, even during these times of crisis, can stream or record and then rebroadcast the assembly, or what can the replacement for the assembly. A lot of churches do this regularly. They broadcast things or live stream for those who cannot make it, are providentially hindered because of health or whatever. They do it for shut-ins. And so forth. There are churches that do this on a regular basis. We, of course, do not. So we have to work at doing those things. But whether you do it on a regular basis or not, there are certain things that you can replace, certain things you cannot replace, and even what you can replace misses something because it's not the assembling of the church together. Let me give you these suggestions. For example, if we were to survey the New Testament and find out what elements were involved in the local church assembly, we would find, for example, that there was the preaching and the teaching of the word. You can do that. You can find that online. You can replace that with things you watch or things you listen to. That can be replaced, but I want to suggest to you something's missing in that, and that you are not hearing the same things your church body is hearing. We're not hearing it together, getting the sense of the reaction of it together, being able to interact, if there are interactions to be given, to be able to discuss the same things in the same time. There are elements of that which cannot be replaced, or when they are substituted for, something is still missing. Reading of the word, both in Paul's letter to Timothy, he said, preach the word. I think he also gave him this instruction, give attention to the reading of the word. We do that in our Building Disciples evening service. I read scripture to start out our morning service. We read scripture in the teaching of the word and all manner of things like that, but it saturates our thoughts with the word of God. Of course you can read the word on your own. You can read the word as a family. But the idea is when we're assembled together, we're all reading the same thing. I think there's an advantage to that. It brings us together. Part of what I can do as your pastor is lead you through the reading, through the teaching of the word. Put things in your mind. And that's part of the feeding of the church, taking us to green pastures so that we're not in separate pastures, but we're all together feeding on the same thing. Those are matters that the assembly just cannot be replaced in online. Prayer and praying together. I can lead you in prayer, like I often do here at the church. You can send me prayer requests, as many of you do. I can share those prayer requests. We can do all of that in our digital age, you know, in many different ways. Let me tell you, something's missing in our prayer life. It's this interaction. It's hearing someone give the request. Feeling the emotions of the request, feeling the just the tenderness it is to them, the sincerity that they have, hearing their concern for what they're praying for. Those kinds of things are missing if we're not assembled together. The Lord's Supper is another matter. We've given ourselves once a month to do the Lord's Supper. We will miss it most likely in April. We still do not have an end date or a beginning date of when we'll start to meet together again. I have seen, read on the internet of churches that are doing virtual Lord's Suppers where people can click and take the bread and click and take the fruit of the vine, the grape juice, and they just think it's wrong. The idea is we come together for the Lord's Supper. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's something about doing this all together that's an element of the Lord's Supper. So we're not going to do that until we can meet together. But the idea is that can't be replaced, that we wait, we long for the time that we can be together again. Giving. On the first day of the week, they were to gather up and store their gifts that they brought to the Lord. Like that's reference to the local church. First day of the week is less reference to the Lord's Day when the church met on Sundays. We have the technology. You can give any time. 24 hours a day. You can put, you could send it in and so forth, but what we can't replace is all of us together laying our offerings before the Lord and thinking about what he has done for us, how he has prospered us. It's an element of our worship that we can't replace. The money can come in, but we can't replace that element of our worship. There's the element of singing, and that's something I'm not sure I could sing for you. You don't want that. We could record some singing. I'm not sure that that's the element we want. But singing in the New Testament, the church was congregationally focused. It was teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so that's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. So, you know, even though we could, and we're going to try this, we could send out some music. We could give you words to hymns, and you can, you know, have that in your personal worship, your family time together. There's something missing when we're not all together, to the intent of the singing. There's all the one another's of Scripture, how we are to, all the things we are to do one to another. I mentioned this before, is that you can do those things outside of church, but there's something about the church assembled together in obedience to Christ, doing the things that he wants us to do, interacting with all the parts of the body, so that the body is edifying itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4. These are things that we long for when we do get together. So some things can be replaced through our means that we have today, but I think they can only be replaced at best partially, and they are meant to be replaced only temporarily, which is the case in which what we're doing today. But I'm going to tell you the whole idea that I want you to go away with is there's one thing that cannot be substituted for with our technological abilities. There's and all the other means we have at our disposal. The one thing that we cannot replace is the assembling of ourselves together. And I hope that indeed absence does make the heart grow fonder, that the longer we are apart, the greater the desire and the greater the importance you see in us assembling ourselves together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that that would make sense in our thoughts, that you'd use it both to comfort us, to challenge us, build within us just an anticipation, a desire, a longing for the church being once again together. Lord, we look forward to that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.